spirits work. You're a doorway to other dimensions. You're a key to life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
I'm Sylvie Avery and welcome to Spirits Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Happy New Year to everybody. Each week, through our connection with our spirit friends, we discuss various topics of interest, and we take great pleasure in listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us. In a most natural way, we are able to cross the divide between our physical world and the non-physical world, when my husband Mick deep trance channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who has access to great knowledge and wisdom, luckily for us. And this week's show, we're going to be talking about negative hoarding. All will become clear, I know it's a strange subject title, but I won't say too much about it because Gregory will come through in a moment and we'll tell you about Gregory, and you can phone up and talk about the process of what we're going to be doing today. And if you'd like to join us with a question relating to our subject, the phone lines will be open, and it's toll-free in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And if you're an international caller, it's not toll-free, but go on, it's only a short call. And that's 001-530-876.
Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirits Work on bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 1 PST, we have another radio show, and that's called Spirit Teaching. You can hear that on artistverse.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, book an Akashic reading, whatever you'd like to do, please go visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and live on www.spiritsworkradio.com. Oh, and Happy New Year to you as well, from me. Yeah. Okay, now what we're able to do as spirit mediums is to offer you the spirit world's perspective on the nature of our existence. And when I go into deep trance, Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for an educational group in the spirit world called the White Cloud Group, will borrow my physical body for the whole of the rest of the show. And I won't know about anything else that happens, because my spirit and my consciousness are actually transported to somewhere else. So I would suggest you please go look at our website for a better understanding of how we work, because we haven't got time to go through too much information at the beginning of each show that we do, because it would take up way too much valuable time, and we like to leave most of the show open to the spirit world, because that's what our show is all about, is information and communication from the spirit world directly to you, to help you resolve problems and whatever it takes, really.
Absolutely.
Okay, then. Goodbye.
Okay. So Nick's going to go off into trance now and bring Gregory through. And Gregory Hay had an Earth life 300 years ago, but has continued to learn and evolve in the spirit world, just the same as we all can, and this is just like it's a prime example, really, of what is possible for everybody. And now he's come back to share his wisdom with us for our benefit. The White Cloud Group, whom he represents, were formed to bring us knowledge that will hopefully steer us toward a more peaceful and harmonious future. They're made up of all kinds of scientific minds and scholars from all walks of life, as well as ordinary people. The information we bring is without religious bias or political persuasion, and we believe in everyone's rights to their own views and beliefs. And like Mick said before he went off, that if you would like to take a stroll through our website, spirit-teaching.com, I'm sure you'll find something of interest there. And in particular, if you would like to go to our Akashic reading page and see if you would like to have an Akashic reading, we do all types of Well, they're all Akashic readings, but we do different lengths and times of them. So we're doing phone readings at the moment, and we'd love to hear from you, basically. So have a look, and then you can email us at enq@spirit-teaching.com. You will never have another reading like an Akashic reading from Gregory Hay. I can tell you that for sure. Anyway, I do believe Gregory is with us now. Hello, Gregory.
With love and light and peace be upon you, my dear friend.
Hi.
Hello.
Well, negatively hoarding, it's a very prudent subject, I know, and I'm sure as you go on talking about it, it will be something that everyone will recognise once you start to explain what it is exactly that you mean by it.
Yes, absolutely so, my dear friends. Now, hoarding in itself is not necessarily a negative thing. You would reflect, perhaps, that this actually comes from certain partitions of instinct which come through your physical state. And how this actually is delivered, it varies from one person to another. However, what we are observing here is that many people on your side of life actually become caught up in various forms of negative hoarding, which actually can result in a myriad of situations and systems of failure to do with the psychological profile of an individual. You may have a person who actually ends up in becoming perhaps obese through negative hoarding. And this is actually because their interactivity with material things of gain and possession actually then begin to unravel themselves in that they do not continually seek to reflect or do not reflect the situations of stimulus that people gain from actually hoarding something. So that then can transpire into a reflective situation whereby the person themselves begins to feel lonely in respect of their hoarding ability. Perhaps it is that they do not, from the system of situations that they hoard, material things and possessions, that it does not sate their chemical balance that they actually created by hoarding in the first place. So it can actually be a whole myriad of situations that hoarding actually can be to do with emotional ties that you hoard yourself. So we're not just looking at this as being a physiological thing. It's not just a collection of objects or something like that. We're also talking here about hoarding negative attributes of the past pathway that you have brought into yourself, so that we will see and observe that people actually become detrimental to themselves because of the thoughts and the feelings that they have accumulated through their past, and these then begin to create negative situations, negative energy. And this is a prime example of negative hoarding of the etheric form. That is of conscious thought and memory. So one of the things that we actually have to look at here is not only to do with that of the conscious state, but also the obvious hoarding of material things, the accumulation of the flotsam of life. It's in effect that it can come about at times when a person is unable to fully hold the frame and the illumination of an image or a picture in one's mind, in one's life. So what you can then have is that you have a low quality of actually being able to remember images and situations. So this comes then to do with situations of actually having a physical response to something. So it may be that you have an object that smells, that retains the smell of a past situation or illumination. That then becomes an object of possession that you cherish. There is nothing wrong with that. People very often in physical life hold many, many memories. And one of the delights of the past, of the pathway of the emotional field, is to hold memories as physical possessions. And then you take them out and refer to them again and again and again. This, however, can at times become quite a negative pathway, particularly if it is to do with loved ones' memories of the past. Perhaps it may be something that reflects the negative memories of someone, perhaps because they are no longer present in your physical life. This then can be actually to do with hoardings of very, very deep reflections. I'm not saying that these things are wrong, but what I'm saying is that as a physical being, you need to re-examine yourself and understand that there are some accumulations of objects and things of the past. Thoughts and memory can be included in these, which can bring intensive negativity to you and make you think less of yourself, certainly make you feel less of the situation of your, both your emotional field, your emotional tie to life, and also the whole situation of how it responds to you in your karmic field and the longevity that you have. After all, if you, shall we say, you're in your 60s or 70s, you may well be reflecting and thinking still more about the fact that you've only got a few years left, and it appears to be diminishing as you speak and as you think. If you are entrapped in that form of negativity, it actually creates a whole different ambience about your life state and who you think you are, where do you think you are going to become, particularly if you are a person who does not reflect well of the status of your true spirit identity and the very fact that your consciousness is eternal. If you do not have that reflection in your physical life, then your negativity about your well-being is going to be something which is created, obviously, en masse because of the negativity that you generate. What does this have to do with negative hoarding? It's quite simply to do with these energies involved, as I say. So, if you have an obvious situation of a whole collection of objects, they may well be collections of objects which actually have no reference whatsoever to the present day. So what does this mean and reveal to you? At many times we have observed that people in physical form just collect stuff. I believe that's what you would call it. Stuff. Mm-hmm. Things that, it's like flotsam of life. Things which do not have any specific memory. And yet you collect and hoard them in case you need them one day. And even, you may even find yourself at quite a good age and still be intent on hoarding objects. Some people will actually hoard things like newspapers and that kind of thing. It's really to reflect the lifetime and the day's events of that time. And in fact, it will become that that person will no longer actually be even attached to that day. And it's just as though they are trying to hold on to situations and images of the past, of that time, but also trying to hold on to the aspect of life. What I'm saying here, really, in many respects, is that the whole journey of life is to do with reflection, conciliation of the thoughts and feelings that you had. If you had a negative day yesterday, and you constantly dwell upon it, what is it that you are creating? You're creating a negative eddy, which you are then riding upon in this day. If you learn to remove yourself from the past situations of your life, that's the same way as dealing with the constitution of your life. Then you will feel much better about what you're going to face tomorrow. Because whatever tomorrow brings, it is surely much better to face it with a bright future, even if that future lasts for a few hours of that day, and you get run over by a bus. Or in terms of my life, I was run over by a coach and four horses. It doesn't mean to say that because your reflection is something of, I am going to challenge what is going to happen to me now, and what I can relate to now, that it means that you are frivolous about your past. Yet many people become very fixated about all of these journeys and the need and the desire to hang on to them like they are hanging on to their own life.
But isn't it sometimes a case that people, particularly older people, like to collect or keep things because it means that they have got a future and there is going to be something different and, in their eyes, important happening to them in the future where they might need something? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yes, there is that too. I cannot disagree with you, friend. There is that too. But the point becomes that you actually end up with a person who thinks, well, perhaps their understanding of actually what they have becomes lost because they collect so much that it becomes irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you may have a person who actually collects objects like plugs, electrical plugs, and that kind of thing. And yet, in actual fact, to actually use a plug, shall we say, of 20 years ago, actually cannot be done, quite simply because they're obsolete and become actually dangerous to the new constitution, coding, or whatever it is that you call it on your side of life, it actually has become that more modernized, and that for safety's sake, it becomes an object that you cannot keep.
So you're talking really about people that are collecting things not because they think, like, for instance, that's going to be worth something someday.
Oh, no.
It's just purely things that they keep, that they collect not on even a purposeful level, but that they come across and they think, oh, well, I'm going to keep that for a rainy day for whatever reason.
Yes, but I suppose, though, you could, by the same stroke, actually attach the same energy to that, in a sense, because they are doing it the same way, not necessarily for exactly the same reason, because it's going to be worth money, but usually because it's going to save them money by keeping it.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it will simply replace something that has worn out. But the point on the object of this is that, obviously, if you keep something for long enough, it will become an antique in itself.
Mm-hmm.
However, to many of the things that people tend to hoard about their life tend to be things which actually are, in a sense, throwaway items. Unfortunately, that is how it has become in your side of life, in your day and age. I'm not encouraging you here to throw away items, but what I'm trying to encourage people to do is to look at the way that they structure their lives and the very base of things which are kept, and for the reasons of why they are kept. For example, you may have a myriad of objects that you are never ever going to use in your life, and that these can quite simply be passed on to perhaps a place where they can resell it, perhaps for purposes of charity or something like that, so that they would actually be useful to people in their lives, because perhaps they do not have the same material gains that you have. This, I know, is perhaps a little bit deliberate, that you actually may have some people who are very poor and yet negatively hoard about themselves. But they will do this for other reasons of instinct, to do with the ancestry, the genetic marker that happens upon that physical being will actually be interrupted, usually because of their deficit of character or their deficit of material possession. They will actually gather things which actually are usually fairly worthless.
Is this because they want to feel that they have something?
Yes, anything, of course. And but what I'm saying here is that that is a part of the problem that society reaps for itself, quite simply because it encourages possession. Possession is the way, after all, that merchants continue to prosper, and that large companies and conglomerates or whatever continue to march across your planet, quite simply redistributing possessions and necessities, so-called necessities, that actually then are configured into people's lives as their lives would be worthless without these possessions.
Plus, not to forget the rubbish that's created, an environmental rubbish that's created.
Yes, of course. So by my saying that we are trying to here encourage people to re-establish their lives in a truest sense, that inevitably would mean that you would strip down parts of your life.
Mm-hmm.
A welcome train.
A train, yes. A train going past the studio. I don't know if anybody could hear that. Okay.
And so that you would actually establish this pattern of perhaps stripping away certain parts of the accumulation of flotsam that you have gathered, just simply to try to gain some direction, really. Very often, people can be distracted from their present-day situation because of the mounting possessions that they have, even though, as I say, they actually appear to be possessions which are not necessarily going to be worthy of their use. People tend to hoard for many different reasons. We need to look at why they do that. Very often, obviously, it can be to do with situations of an emotive nature, emotional ties to do with previous loves and that kind of thing, past relationships, mementos of those relationships. There's nothing wrong with keeping those. I am not trying to bring this in with the baggage of what we're talking about. Obviously, many people would like to keep photographs and all of their memories, usually because they cannot then keep it all in their mind. But actually, one of the things that you are doing when you are creating that is, in a sense, not to use your conscious memory. So, in a sense, you are losing the thread and the connectivity between your physical state and your spirit. Because actually, my friend, your spirit has all of that information already. And part of the pathway that physical people have forgotten to deal with is how to re-establish that connection, that connectivity with your spirit, so that you can recollect those images. They're not just sitting there on your consciousness. They're there as a part of your spirit's journey.
And we're not talking about the fact that, you know, because everybody likes to, when they come home, they close the door behind them and they just feel comfortable because they have everything around them that is familiar to them. And now you're not talking about that necessarily, are you?
No, not at all. That's part of the nesting situation that we would expect all physical beings to have something to do with that. I know that some people actually won't, and they will deny that completely. People who live in isolation, enforced by their own doing and by their own will. And that is perfectly understandable too. Many people on a very deep spiritual pathway will actually shred the remnants of past physical life and behavior, particularly if they want to feel that they are empowering themselves with a very, very positive focus, outlook upon the rest of their life journey. that is something which enables a person not to completely be distracted from their spiritual purpose, but rather enable them to completely focus on the horizon event which may be illuminating before them.
You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and this is Spirit's Work. If you'd like to join us with a question related to hoarding, then the phone lines are open and we'd love to hear from you. The number is free phone in the US, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. International, it's not free, but it's 001-530-876-3222. Okay, so there comes a time, I think, in everybody's life that even if you are, however bad you are about hoarding, because we all do it, I think, to a certain extent, would you agree? At some degree,
yes.
And there comes a time when we decide to have a clear out and we throw things away. And there's just something happens. We're maybe changing direction in our life. It's a new start. For some reason, what happens to us at that moment?
Yes, actually, you are dealing there with a certain set of imbalances which had been brought about by the hoarding situation to begin with. And this then is a gradual build-up of imbalances which then, in a sense, you become as though you are in this circle of life, and that it appears to be an ever-diminishing circle, so that the more that you hoard, the more that, for some people, they actually get a chemical pheromonic activity from the act of hoarding in any event. For others, it will be less intensive. And we have noted, in fact, that for some people, they almost do it absent-mindedly. They will just perhaps set something aside, perhaps even to the extent of when they have finished using it and they will go out and buy a new version of it or whatever. They won't actually deal with the old one, perhaps take it to a, as I say, a recycled a place or something like that. They'll just put it away somewhere. And then this situation just builds up. So what actually happens to a person is that physiologically you actually become weighed down with this situation of gathering all of these items. Particularly, as you say, when you are wanting the desire to change direction, or it comes upon you through a certain situation that you need to change direction, usually through some negative situation that you feel about yourself, or just because you become actually bogged down by that vibration of what you actually have connected. It actually becomes too difficult for you to correlate with all of the information that you have about all of the objects. Particularly, I would have to say, for people who tend to collect objects of machinery.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, it's something of the like that we completely understand in respect of some people will be reluctant to throw away an object such as a mechanical device, a screwdriver or a spanner, even though the object is actually obsolete. Even broken ones will be kept in case they can fix it in some year's time or something like that. Really quite remarkable, old hammers and things like that. And even though they've then gone out and bought a new one, it's quite strange that they will still keep hold of their old one because of sentimental value or whatever.
Yes, so thousands of screws in
the nails in a jar. Absolutely so, yes, in small rusting jars which apparently have let in the air, and so they're, all the nails and whatnot are rusting away by themselves.
When nails and screws are so cheap, and they're in the 24-hour supermarket, like 5 minutes away, or whatever.
Yes.
You know, it's,
well, I do appreciate that. But
okay, but do you think that war has something to do with a certain generation of people that do this.
Yes, I'm very glad that you brought this up, friend. Usually, heightened hyper-traumatic events create and instill a fragility.
Mm-hmm.
A fragility for certain people to need to constantly nest. It's as though the nest button has been depressed and that it's constantly on. Whereas people who are living ordinary, healthy lives tend to actually release it at times.
Mm-hmm.
They only nest for so long, you understand. They gather together the parts of how they wish a room to look or their house to be. Maybe they have an internal interest about their the way their piece of land looks or something like that. But that's about as far as their nesting goes. As far as actually hoarding old things, they will generally replace things and take the old version of it, as I say, either to be recycled or to some other way of it being recycled in some other establishment, if it still works or something like that. They will sell it on.
Mm-hmm.
So there are obvious differences here. People who have been in heightened situations like a war-type footing, it actually sets off a great imbalance and nervous peptides tend to become more dominant in the physical state. So it means then that their life becomes more fragile in this respect. It means then that they are working on different pheromonic activities, which then drives their need to constantly prepare for the future of the possibility of not having, because quite simply, we can see this for many people who went through the Second World War and that kind of thing. People in great agonies of their own lives, they actually had to do away with many of their own physical possessions, some actually being depossessed from their house. You would also see exactly the same thing with people who are actually whose house is repossessed. And particularly if it's a person who has put such a lot into their dwelling place, their nest and that kind of thing, you would see it's not the same as you would observe in wildlife where perhaps a bird is depossessed from its nest
mm-hmm.
by a different form of wildlife, by another bird perhaps, or whatever. It will just merely simply go off and reconstruct the same thing all over again. It doesn't have an attachment in emotional fields of events the same way that human physical beings do. And how is that related to their spirit is actually, it generally tends to happen because they're not in contact with that form of emotional field or with their upper house spirituality. That is usually something that defies them.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, what about something, and I think I would put myself in this category, about getting a chemical reaction from actually getting rid of clutter and things?
Oh, yes.
I mean, would you agree that I'm...
A good clean out.
I do. I like having a clean out.
Yes.
And, yes, so...
But you actually...
It's a sad day when I've run out of things to throw away.
Yes,
or get rid of, or give away, rather.
Yes, yes.
You know.
But you hoard for a while. Because of your internal nesting situation,
mm-hmm.
and then you suddenly realize it, and you expend everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, but that's actually because you feel, actually, at this time, the need to be very light.
Yeah.
And the lightness that you feel is not because of the very edge of life that you feel that you are on at this precarious time, but it's actually more to do with that you are very fluid at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice way of putting it, isn't it?
Yes,
that you are very fluid, and the point and the reason, the reference for that fluidity is that you have your consciousness is directed at a certain other place, which is not actually necessarily to do with the physical world at this time.
It feels like, and I hope our listeners can identify with all of these different scenarios that we're talking about and feelings that people have, it feels for me in that respect that I need to be ready for anything.
Yes, absolutely so.
So I don't want stuff.
Yes, you don't want clutter to inhibit your ability to be reactive.
Mm, I don't want to be tied to any one place, ever.
An interesting point, yes. And that is very much, in fact, the whole histology behind people who are travellers.
Right.
Who actually, although to a point, they will actually travel with all of their own possessions.
Well, yes. But instead of thinking, it's a bit like feeling that you don't want to miss something by not being able to be fluid and flexible.
Yes. Quite so. You want to have the opportunity to be instantly reactive.
Mm-hmm.
But that is really a whole different scenario, because I suppose, in a sense, you have done with possessions.
Yeah, okay. Here's another one for you. What about people who, very much like myself, and you know, hey, I can only really draw from certain, obvious things that I know about.
Yes,
so, what about the difference between people who walk into a room and arrange their living quarters? Some people like to have furniture in the middle of the room and around the room. Other people like to have a lot of space in the middle of the room and only like furniture around the
edges. On the edges, yes.
Exactly. Hey, hands up, you know.
Yes.
I mean, you know, if I just had bean bags and that sort of thing around on the outside of a room, I'd be quite happy, and nothing in the middle particularly, except for maybe a nice rug or something.
Yes.
I mean, you know, things, even that I find cluttering. If with little coffee tables everywhere and that sort of thing. Why would that irritate somebody, though? Why would that be irritating to a certain personality and not others?
Yes, it is quite interesting. Some people have a very innate sensibility about what people see as being beautiful. So they will perhaps, you might have, some people will find objects really beautiful, and yet they like them to be beautiful in amongst a whole nest of other objects. So you find the situation of a person is living in a room full of clutter. Hoarders of antiques tend to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
That they like one simple object, when in actual fact that object might be much better to be observed at times in isolation by some people, and at other times in situ in a whole room full of antiques of that period. That is also something which is very desirable for some people. And yet for others, they actually don't like that kind of situation, would much rather have a more modernistic view and approach. It tends to be, however, that people who are, and I know I'm going to be slated for this, but that people who are generally very spiritually open will actually hoard less. They will have less objects. People who tend to be very spiritually defined will actually gather their definition all around them.
Mm.
And will then, for example, if it is a situation where they are very much defined about their heritage or their understanding of certain pathways in their life, they will have many indications of that pathway, and it will be all around their dwelling. Whereas people who perhaps are less worried over that, or less attracted to that as being something of the multiples of life, it's as though that when you are into a room like in that way, that is set out in that way, you are observing the situations of one thought after another, and they're all collected there on the walls, on the ceiling, on the floor, depending on how the arrangement is made. It will generally become quite a cozy environment to some, or a very cluttered environment to others. Others who much rather would have the clean lines of space to give them a more spiritual sense of freedom in that place. Many people will actually attract this energy to the feng shui adherence of observing energy and that connectivity with physical space. The point is actually, in looking at that kind of discipline, you will actually observe things to do with specific energies. And this will then depend upon how you actually observe certain situations in one room and how they relate to you, how you relate to it.
Yes, I find that fascinating. I'd love to study feng shui if I ever had the time. Maybe not in this life, but I do think that that's quite fascinating. Yeah.
Yes.
So, it's interesting, isn't it, to wonder why you do a particular thing and why it affects you. I mean, spiritually and as a spirit vibration, I mean, obviously we could go into colours and all sorts of things, but is it something that happens to everyone as they age? Is this something hoarding to a certain degree? Is it something that happens to everybody as they age?
No.
No?
No, it really does not. It does depend much more upon the actual events of situations that have been created in that life, which then create the pattern. It depends, for example, if that pattern is not interrupted, then the hoarding will become more and more insular.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be necessarily about hoarding new objects, but it will actually be hoarding objects of a certain time period. So that you will find that some people, for example, perhaps they were very fond of a certain time of their life, and they may well be attracted to certain objects. So they will actually move around from one shop to another, a recycle shop or whatever it is, and seek out objects of that same value or of that same time.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I suppose, is in a sense what attracts some people to certain hobbies that they have, or whether it's collecting stamps or whatever it is, whether it is, as I say, collecting machinery parts or something like that. Well, it may not actually be the machinery parts that are of any use whatsoever.
Well, yes, but who's to say what's a hobby and what's hoarding?
Very good point. I suppose you could say that some hobbies are forms of hoarding. You may have a person, for example, who actually has an attractive hobby of doing things with their hands, of actually making things and that kind of thing. Perhaps they make cards or pictures or whatever, and or perhaps they do sewing. And instead of just gathering the materials for sewing that they need to produce certain objects or whatever of their desire at that moment, they will actually gather and hoard whole rafts of it, enormous amounts of material of yarn and twine and this and that and all manner of different ways of producing certain abilities, so that they actually invest in it in a very wide-ranging way. And you would almost then count it as obsessive. At the beginning of this, I was also talking, if you remember, about the possibilities of food becoming a negative hoarding situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very true. Because if you look and observe at the way that some people become entrapped within themselves, particularly people who are obese for whatever reason, they often react negatively toward their own life situation. Yes, they may well enjoy cooking this and that. It's not to do with their enjoyment of cooking, it's what they're actually doing with it. how it is sating a certain appetite or blocking out certain other functions, certain other situations and values in that life. And I'm not casting a negativity here by saying this. I'm just merely asking people to look at themselves and how they may reevaluate their life. They may find then that something from this discussion that we are having is going to be helpful to show them how to reflect upon certain instances of their life and the nature of their behavior, and how that behavior can then actually alter the basis of their life.
And impact the planet.
And impact the planet.
With stuff.
With stuff, yes.
Well, how does this really, how does this relay in the spirit world? You know, I mean, if there's somebody, obviously we know that you've talked often that when people go to the spirit world, they very often continue in the way that they were here. So
yes, or they try to.
Yes.
Yes. Obviously, if it's a situation that they had, that they were great collectors of this or that, whether it was machinery parts or whatever it was, they're obviously not going to be able to create the same collection in the spirit world as they had in physical reality, because it doesn't respond in the same way to physical things and objects. You actually, in the spirit world, will relate to things of your physical past life, perhaps, and recreate them at times and points of moment when you desire to reflect upon them. It doesn't mean to say that they will stay with you forever and ever. That will take a great deal of energy for you on your part as a spirit being to constantly attract to that form of energy. In fact, what usually happens is that the distillation of that energy gradually ebbs away. And it's not like you will then try to hold on to it and that this creates a problem for you as a spirit being. Clearly, it will be more simply defined that you would, if you wish to reflect upon it again, you will simply restate that energy in your own memory. Those in the spirit world don't actually usually forget situations or events which are relevant to them, to do with love, to do with, or maybe even to do with negativity. Some beings in the spirit world remember negative lessons all too clearly, and that generally tends to be then a situation that has to be helped to overcome by many on our side of life. Negative hoarding is actually something which produces problems for people in the spirit world. They come to the spirit world and then they want to continue it. They want to, or they actually feel at odds with their life now. They feel in desolation, perhaps, because they don't have all of the objects that they had, that they invested with. You may actually find that, we have found it time and time again, people who have lived to a ripe old age and they've hoarded all their lives. And so they're around in wallowing in this nest, and they may actually even eventually pass away in their hoarding nest. And that then begins to be a very great problem of their own lives, because then they actually have great difficulty in overcoming the situations, the states of negotiation that they brought about in their negative emotional field, and how this then relates to them as a spirit being. No, they cannot just throw it away. They cannot just move on because they're a beautiful spirit being and they go to the light and everything is wonderful and that kind of thing. It doesn't actually happen like that. I wish it would, but it doesn't. Many beings on our side of life actually have to renegotiate their life plan and what it is they actually feel is relevant now in their life. So we have to help them to overcome these problems of their gathering states, of their nurturing, and what it, how it was that they actually interacted in their physical life. This is something that they have to overcome gradually.
So it can be, it could be classed as something, an introverted situation, either negatively hoarding memories or thoughts or physical items. I mean, like you've just said, that it's a similar thing.
Yes.
But it, so it's a feeling of entrapment, really, but they don't we don't always do that, that we do things for a reason of coping strategy, shall we say, deflection of life or whatever.
Yes, yes, quite so. This, of course, does not apply to people who have well worthwhile hobbies, which they then continue with that experience, and it's something of a great adventure to them. I'm not suggesting that at all. I'm not suggesting that hobbies are a sickness.
No.
Or anything like that. I'm saying that that is a very positive, progressive path that people must understand, that as a physical being, you have many diversions. You have many pathways, many roads that you can undertake simultaneously at one time. And that, in effect, will actually help you and your consciousness to stay very much alive right up to the last moment that you are continuing to survive in physical state. And from the time that you pass, you continue with that wish, with that desire.
Because you're creating, you're being creative.
Yes, absolutely so.
I mean, I'm sure that people can, people have elderly parents or grandparents or whatever that that they are listening to this now maybe and thinking, oh, that reminds me of my grandmother, grandfather, or whatever. And I think it's helpful to understand, you know, all these different avenues of why they might be doing it, really.
Yes, absolutely. And it's not to say that I'm trying to encourage people to then throw out all of their mother's or their grandmother's possessions just because you feel that it's entrapping them. But actually, they will find that certain situations of that hoarding quality that they have brought about in their life has been perhaps a little less than desirable, particularly in certain situations of certain indications of their hoarding, that they then have to understand, well, actually, it's not of any use now.
Do you ever get spirits, actually, ones that have just passed and they're there and are watching their family clear out all of their stuff, getting rid of their stuff in big black plastic bags or whatever?
Yes.
Do they freak out about that?
Oh, some do. Yes. Unfortunately, so some get really quite agitated over it and will even try to communicate, perhaps, to their loved ones to stop.
And I can imagine if it's something that's valuable that they say, no, don't throw that away or something like that.
Yes, yes.
But
yes, quite so.
But I mean, for these reasons that don't really make sense.
Well, yes, quite so. And usually in those situations, it will either be other ancestors of the same physical genetic group who will come to try to show them that it's all right for these objects to be thrown out or to be removed. Or it will be that, in a sense, if those beings aren't present for whatever reason, and we have to account for every eventuality here, it may well be that we, others, have to actually intervene in this situation.
The people like you that help in the spirit world?
Yes, of course.
Mm. Mm.
We are always available.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. That's amazing. So is there... we've only got a couple of minutes left.
Yes.
But when, at what point then would it become detrimental, would you say, to be a hoarder to the point of...
Well, I suppose really the main situation is to do with the thought process. And if you have a person who is actually perhaps in some way regarding their life in a negative way, which I appreciate that many people may come to do. For example, it is something which comes to a person when they actually perhaps maybe have to move out of their marital home that they have been in a very long time and actually have to move into a small room, a flat or something like that. So most of their possessions, they're taken, they're stripped away from them.
Mm.
And they actually feel a real divided sense of remorse over that. That is not really to do with negative hoarding. That is actually to do with their memories and their fear of losing those objects that they had possessed as being a part of their memory, of physical light.
Do people create their, you know, you said before that people can actually create if they want to still live in a little house or whatever in the spirit world, they can do that. Okay, so
yes,
let's say they've created their little house. Do they create all their stuff in it as well, or do they just
Yes. It's remarkable.
Really?
Yes.
The letter rack that's overflowing? And
oh, absolutely so. They will even create the situation of food, in fact, being left.
Oh, really? What, crusts of bread?
Oh, yes.
Jam
Yes. Washing up in the sink and that kind of thing. If it's something that was actually a part of their memory, their conscious memory, it's how the conscious memory works. What we have to do is to teach them to move through those memories, to show them that there are actually other aspects of their life, perhaps before they had those memories, which were more loving, more endearing, more positively vibrant, which would create a positive outlook for their spirit, rather than it being entrapped in these situations of cycles of negativity.
Wow, well, it just goes to show you how ingrained we are sometimes in our habits.
Absolutely so.
Absolutely, wow. Well, that's been fascinating. Something a little different that we've been talking about today, but nevertheless fascinating and interesting because it's the spirit world's point of view, really, and how you see it, which is, you know, I always think it's like looking into a goldfish bowl, really, and watching us how we run up, swim around and do the things we do. So,
yes.
Thank you very much, Gregory.
You are most welcome. With love and light and peace be upon your journey.
Thank you.
God bless.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show, and I'd just like to mention our website again. It's spirit-teaching.com, and as well as Spirit's Work. Today on Thursday, we are with you again on Monday, and also have another radio show, Spirit Teaching, on Tuesdays. So thank you so much for listening. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit Work. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focus on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.